Greetings, fellow nerds and geeks. Why don't you pull yourself up a chair, grab yourself a beverage, and prepare to enjoy a geek-tastic conversation. Welcome to the Geekeasy.
Hey guys, welcome to another installment of the Geekeasy podcast. I'm Pixel Dan.
Jonathan.
That's Jonathan Leonard. Did you forget how to do the intro? The
camera's making me nervous.
The camera's making you nervous. Yeah. That's a new thing that we're doing here.
It's looking at me.
Are you going to be okay? You're going to be able to get through
this?
Yeah,
I think we'll be fine.
So we are trying something new. We are now filming the Geekeasy podcast. And the reason for that is because, well, I've got this YouTube channel.
It's pretty huge.
You might have heard of it.
It's kind of a big deal.
I've got over 100,000 subscribers currently, so I figured, why not maybe see if any of those folks have even heard of the podcast and try to get a little bit of crossover traffic, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so we are going to be filming as well as recording. So the show will still be available on iTunes and Stitcher. In fact, in the format that you're used to listening to, it will still be available. But in addition to that, I am going to start putting segments from each episode up on YouTube. That way, if folks are interested in specific topics we're talking about from every episode, they can watch us there on YouTube. But also, it's going to help us spread the word a little bit on the podcast and hopefully get some more eyes and ears on us.
Yep.
So that is the plan.
I mean, like you said, the podcast will still be the easiest, best way to take in the show in its full format. So if you love listening, nothing's really changing.
Right.
But as far as, you know, if you look back and go, well, what was it they said about that trailer that came out 6 months ago? It'll be an easy search on YouTube for just that one little segment you can go through. And then if you want to show friends, family, relatives, coworkers, everyone you know how awesome the show is.
That's right.
There's little snippets you'll be able to just kind of show them, hey, here's what we listen to all the time. So it kind of helps just spread the word and deliver more, better content for you guys, the listeners. So.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And viewers, I guess.
So for those of you who are watching this on YouTube for the first time, welcome to the show. My good buddy Jonathan and I have been doing this show for, quite a while now. And basically, this is kind of our outlet to discuss all sorts of nerdy things that we love, which has a pretty heavy influence on the movies that we like to go see.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is because we both love movies, and this has really been my only outlet to discuss that sort of thing. So we talk a lot about movies, especially the comic book variety, but also talk about some other geeky things like Comic-Con and
toy
toys.
Nerd-related
and, yeah,
or
absolutely.
Geek-related or...
So hopefully you guys enjoy some of the stuff that you see here on YouTube. And if you do enjoy it, why not seek us out on iTunes and subscribe or find us on Stitcher or Podbean or however you guys listen to podcasts. You should be able to find us. So there you go.
The Geekeasy website or Facebook page.
That's right. There too. That's right. Yeah. You can search for us on Facebook. You can go to geekeasypodcast.com. There's a lot of different ways that you can locate us. So
pretty soon we'll be the entire internet.
We will be the whole internet. That's the plan. Yeah. Massive takeover. So, now that we're kind of back in the swing of things, it has been a while since we've recorded an episode.
Yeah, I'm not even going to count the weeks.
Oh my gosh. Well, right before we came down here, right before you arrived, my wife reminded me, you haven't done an episode since June 3rd. I was like, thanks, honey.
Why did she have the date on standby?
Well, she enjoys listening to the show.
Nice.
And she
I
has.
Don't even think my wife knows the show exists.
Yeah. So she has a couple podcasts on her little podcast list, and that's what she listens to at work. So she likes to remind me that we haven't recorded a new one every now and then. And so she reminded me today. But
and we hear it a lot. You know, hey, when's a new episode coming up? Hey, we haven't heard you in a while. It's just not usually people don't hammer us with the actual date.
I know.
That's what impressed
that's,
me.
That's what she does sometimes. Yeah.
Now they know we drink water.
Now they know we drink water in official Geekeasy glass.
And they know that's I'm the fat guy.
No, <you're... laughs> oh, come on now.
They assumed I was svelte.
They did.
Now they know. Sorry, internet.
Sorry to disappoint. Yeah. Are you worried about disappointing him? Yeah, so it's been a while. June was obviously busy, and we've talked about this before, how our schedules don't line up sometimes. But I think the biggest reason was totally on me, because San Diego Comic-Con just happened. A little event you guys might have heard of.
Some of you were probably at.
Some of you were probably there. Probably a lot of you guys were there. But it was a little earlier this year. It was like at the beginning of July. Normally it's not until like the end of July. Mm-hmm. Like right now, about the time we're recording, this is usually when I'm there. So the weeks leading up to Comic-Con are just as busy for me as the week of Comic-Con itself.
Yeah.
Because
and the weeks following Comic-Con.
And the weeks following Comic-Con, yeah. So it really does kind of take about a month of my time away completely because I'm reviewing exclusives that are going to be at the show. So, I mean, it's deadline stuff, you know.
Yeah.
It's things I have to have done before I leave,
yeah.
As well as getting all my stuff prepared, making sure I've got my appointments made. I mean, there's just a lot of stuff going on. So you guys can blame me, but hopefully, if you guys are watching, maybe you've enjoyed my Comic-Con coverage. So hopefully it worked out for you there, and at least you got that from me. But now we're back. I'm settling back in, and we've got a lot of news from Comic-Con, which is going to be the majority of this episode here. We're going to talk about lots of that kind of stuff, and hopefully we'll be back in the swing of things.
Yeah.
We're going to try to record two episodes real quick, back-to-back.
Yeah, putting both up very...
Because,
probably right away.
Yeah, we've also seen several movies since the last time we recorded.
Yeah,
so we want to talk about...
We got all the Comic-Con stuff to go over, all the toy stuff, all the, you know, the interviews and the neat stuff you did.
Yeah,
just to find out all it, because I still haven't heard a lot of the stories myself. So
I'm as
eager as the listeners are. and then we've, of course, got to go over all those trailers that came out, because people want to hear us talk about our thoughts on them.
Right.
And then just the fact that we've been talking for a year now how huge 2015 is going to be, and now we're really into the meat and potatoes of the summer, so
we've
got some reviews of that to get to, too. So we probably will forego doing our hour and a half minimum reviews of every movie that we've seen, but we'll try to hit 10 or 15 minutes on some big ones, and we'll go. So that's what's going to happen over the next two and a half hours of your listening pleasure, hopefully.
Absolutely.
So
that is the plan. Yep. Well, let's go and start by talking about Comic-Con.
Yeah, let's get into it. Tell me everything right now.
Tell you everything. There's
start
so
from
much.
The beginning.
Start from the beginning. Well, I think my flight left St. Louis.
Okay, fast forward.
Yes, San Diego Comic-Con. It is a wild ride. And if any of you guys have ever been out there, you know how intense that show is. And I swear, every year, the thing gets bigger and more packed, and I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they always seem to manage to cram more people into that place, but they do. They find a way to, and I've still never been anywhere with as many people in one spot crammed as close as they are as San Diego Comic-Con. It's nuts.
Yeah,
it's
and I'd
so
be interested
nuts.
To see the kind of the numbers that go through, or if they're going to have to figure out a way, because I've never been there. I don't go with you specifically, but I mean, I see pictures, I see videos, I see all sorts of stuff, and it is just packed. And I would have thought over the last couple of years there had been a little bit of a decline because of all of the big, like, Disney's more or less absent. Like, Marvel was completely absent. They did have a big Star Wars panel, I guess. But a lot of that stuff, Disney's starting to kind of do their own shows sort of in-house. And they're I mean, you know, Comic-Con isn't built around Marvel movies by any means, but inarguably it's a huge part of
news
and the stuff that comes out.
It had
out,
been a
you know?
Huge part for the past several years.
Yeah, exactly.
And there just wasn't really anything there from Marvel this
year.
So
you'd think if that just becomes a vacuum, well, the whole, I mean, it's not going to kill the event by any means, but there'll be a little bit of a decline. But nope, didn't look like there was at all.
No, not at all. But it'll be interesting to see what effect that has on things going forward, because I can definitely see, especially with Disney owning those properties, I think more and more they're going to start doing their own things with that kind of stuff. I mean, they've already got Star Wars Celebration.
Theirs is coming up pretty soon. They have a big, like,
D23 Expo. Yep, that's their big Disney con, which I would love to go to that someday. I think that'd be cool. But, I wouldn't be surprised if they kick off their own MarvelCon eventually, of some sort.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a Marvel Fan Fest or something. Since they have Star Wars Celebration, which is, you know, massively popular and successful. So, there was still a lot going on. It was still crazy. And as far as, like, the space and everything goes, there has been kind of talks for a while on moving the show to Las Vegas. Because Las Vegas has way more space and way more hotels for that sort of thing. But San Diego, one of the big news items this year was San Diego actually won the bid to keep Comic-Con through 2018. So they've extended their contract through 2018. So it's not going anywhere anytime soon.
A few more years.
It's going to be there still. they're going to fight to keep it as long as possible because that is a massive economy boost for San Diego.
I'm sure, yeah. Because like you said, I mean, it's not just, you know, it's not just that one weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all sorts of other stuff between all the vendors that come out and all the publicity. And
the
whole
city is Comic-Con. It's not just what's inside that convention center. I mean, it has spilled out into the entire city. There are events happening everywhere. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a big deal for them.
And San Diego's become synonymous with it. I mean, it's not just because there are Comic-Cons everywhere.
Yes.
So it's not just Comic-Con hits every year. It is the San Diego Comic-Con that has really emerged from the field as the big one.
I mean, it's the big daddy.
We've talked about that before. I mean, as short as probably 6-7 years ago, the Chicago one was kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, like it was nowhere near
Chicago.
San Diego 7 or 8 years ago was nowhere near San Diego now either.
True, true.
But, you know, even back then, Chicago was nowhere near San Diego size, but it was still big. Like, big things happened there. A lot of people went and stuff. And as San Diego really cemented itself as the one of the year, some of the other ones have just kind of fallen to the wayside.
Yeah.
It really is. It is a San Diego event.
It really is. Yeah. It's pretty great, though. I enjoy it. It's a lot of work, but, you know, you guys hear me say that all the time. But I do enjoy it. It's a cool experience. And I got to do my thing this year. I got to do all the interviews and stuff, which I really enjoy doing. I definitely feel a little more accomplished this year than I did last year, which is always a good feeling. I got a lot more done this time. But it's always funny, like, leaving or, like, getting towards the end and realizing, man, I did a lot, but there is so much more I could have done, and there's just not enough of me to do it.
Yeah.
And I always feel bad because there's always questions that get directed at me, like, did you get a chance to go see, you know, this that was on display, and did you get any footage of this? And there's so many things that, like, I just didn't get to see. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's hard, especially when you're just kind of a one-man show.
Well, you're going to have to expand out and do a crew.
I know. I'm going to need a crew. You want to go to Comic-Con?
Know how to run cameras and can
I know.
Film.
I should get you out there some year. You need to see what Comic-Con's
all
about.
I do. I really do. It'll be the same kind of experience. They'll be walking around going, cool, I can finally go to Hall H, except no, I can't.
No, I was going to say, if you hang with me, you're not going to get to see anything.
But still, totally worth it.
It's pretty cool.
And that's, we've talked about that, I know, at least last year at the Comic-Con when we did that episode, too, and just because it kind of is a refresher for the people who listen. Like you said, you do so much work when you go out there.
Yeah.
And so I know it's not, you know, everybody thinks, oh, cool, you get to go to Comic-Con, you know, and like you said, did you see this, did you see that, whatever, and it's never, because we always have that period when you get back to town from Comic-Con where I'm like, you know, hey, did you catch this, and did you hear about that, and whatever, you know, and you're like, nope, film toys.
Yeah.
And I need you to tell me all the news now.
Yeah.
So you always tell me about all the experiences you had and the stuff you saw firsthand, and I get to tell you about all the news and trailers and stuff that came out because you have no idea any of that stuff's happening while you're out there actually working.
That's what happens, and like, the people who are following Comic-Con on the internet are way more in the know than anybody at Comic-Con, I promise you.
Because we get all the news immediately.
Exactly. And, you know, everybody can't be everywhere at once while they're out there, and we're certainly not sitting on our phones reading the internet when we're walking around doing things. So it's one of those things where, like, I would get back to the hotel at night, and I'd kind of see what the big news was. Like, when the Batman versus Superman trailer dropped, I knew about that pretty much as soon as I got back to my hotel room, because it's all the internet was talking about. But, you know, there's a lot of things that I miss entirely while I'm out there, so I end up, you know, discussing with you when I get back.
Yeah.
I had some fun experiences, though, this year. One of the things that's always kind of neat is the people that you sometimes get to meet when you're out there. So on preview night, which is the first night there, DC Collectibles always has a private party where they invite members of the press to this little party, and they kind of serve hors d'oeuvres and drinks, and they have most all of the new stuff that they're going to be displaying at the actual convention center just kind of laid out for you so that you can go ahead and get your photographs and all that stuff and get nice, good pictures of everything out of the cases. They've got all of the people who work for the, you know, work for the company, as well as the people who design the statues and the figures and the sculptors. They're like all there, so you can just talk to them and have conversations. It's
really
a very, very cool event. I've been lucky enough to get to go to that the last 3 years. And it's where I always get to do I always get to do my interview there, because they always look forward to just getting that done with me right there.
Yeah.
So I do an interview right there at that event, and it's really cool. So it was really neat this year, because anybody that watched my DC Collectibles walkthrough, you saw how kind of wild it is. I mean, it's all over the place. And because I kept getting introduced to all these different people in the middle of my interview. It was so great. But one of the coolest moments from that, and it was a great way to start off San Diego Comic-Con, was the fact that I got to meet Jim Lee.
Yeah, man.
And interview Jim Lee on the spot, completely unprepared, had no idea it was going to happen. It was one of those things where I was talking and he goes, "Hey, there's Jim Lee. We should bring Jim Lee over here." Yeah. And he corrals Jim Lee into my video and says, "You know, hey, there, meet Jim Lee. Okay, he's the guy that designed this Comic-Con exclusive Batman figure. Let's talk to him about it." So I got to like shake Jim Lee's hand and talk to him about it.
I'd have just been stammering.
It was like, neat. And he's such Jim a cool Lee. Guy. And I've always heard that. I've always heard he was a good guy and everything. I had never met him in person until this moment. And he was super funny. Cause even like later on in the video, I was back to doing my regular interview and we were talking about the Batman, the animated series, new figures that were coming out. And Jim Lee runs over, steals the Batmobile off the table and then like goes to run out the door with it. So I've got all that on video in my walkthrough too. So, you know, it was just really fun, really fun moment. But yeah,
I was starstruck seeing the picture.
It was neat.
Jim Lee was always my favorite artist.
Yeah.
Growing up, comic book wise, if Jim Lee was drawing it, I wanted to read.
Well, I mean, come on, so many of the iconic looks for the superheroes that we grew up with were from that guy's brain. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
and I found out you did that on Facebook.
I know. I'm sorry. I should have texted you that immediately.
Yeah, I saw that, and I don't even go on Facebook. I don't even know why I was on there. I was just scrolling. I'm like, hey, here's more stuff from Dad. Wait, what?
That's my bad. It's hard to keep up with everything.
Yeah. It was day one. But you can't just call me right away.
I know. It was neat though. It was a cool experience. It was definitely a good way to kick off the show. And he was cool, you know, even after we got done filming, I sat there and talked to him for a little bit and he was just super good guy. You know, really nice.
I've always heard that. So
that was really cool. I didn't really have any other cool like iconic meetings or anything like that, but I had one close encounter that you will find fun.
You gave me a preview of it.
I gave you a preview of it. And it's funny because I feel like I see this guy every year, but I've never actually met him. Christina and I were leaving the con for the day, and we were heading down to our hotel.
Which day was this?
This was probably Friday, I would say. Okay. So about midway through the convention. We were heading to the hotel, and the first, like... Our hotel's basically down the street. It's a bit of a walk, but it's a straight shit's right down the street. And right outside the convention center, there's a ton of people because everybody's like moving every which way, trying to go different places. So you're always kind of fighting crowds to get out of there. And everybody's walking down the sidewalk and the sidewalks are as packed as possible. And you got a lane of traffic moving this way and a lane of traffic moving the opposite direction. So we're in this jumble of people and we're walking down the sidewalk to our hotel. And we're in this crazy crowd and we're shuffling down the sidewalk going as quick as we can. I can't wait to get to a clearing so I can just like break out and go where I'm going. But as I'm sitting there and I'm kind of looking around, somebody brushes by, there's a whole bunch of people walking by and you bump shoulders sometimes. So I bump shoulders with this guy and I kind of look over and I look back and I'm walking. And then it like clicks in my brain that the person that I just ran into looked incredibly familiar. So I turn back around and realize that I just ran into Nathan Fillion, who's just walking.
Literally ran into him.
Walking down the sidewalk with everybody. Whatever. He doesn't care. Yeah. He's Nathan Fillion. Yeah. Right? So he's walking down the sidewalk going towards the convention center. And it was crazy, too, because it's one of those things where this is all... Obviously, this happens really fast. But in my mind, it's like all in slow motion because it's that thing where I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's Nathan Fillion. Yeah. And just as I kind of get ready to point it out, the lady behind me goes, "Hey, you're Nathan Fillion." And he stops, turns around, shakes her hand, says, "It's a pleasure to meet you," then turns around and goes back on his way. And I'm kind of like, that lady stole my Nathan Fillion handshake. If I was 2 seconds faster, I could have been the one shaking Nathan Fillion's hand.
She didn't steal that, Dan. You gave that away.
I gave it away.
That's on you.
She took my moment, dude. Took my moment. It was weird. It was cool.
That's awesome.
It was cool because I like that.
If you'd have shook hands with Jim Lee and Nathan Fillion, I don't know if we'd be friends anymore. Jealousy would be running too rampant.
I liked how he was just walking in the crowd of people to the con, because there's a lot of the celebrities that are there for things, and usually it's like the bigger celebs, I guess, or the people that think they're bigger celebs and don't want to be around people. You always see this insane circle of dudes in suits like probably 10 of them in a perfect circle walking through the convention center because there's a celebrity in the middle of them. So that way you can't see who it is and you can't talk to them. It's ridiculous. Yeah. So just to see Nathan Fillion just kind of casually walking down the street with everybody was kind of awesome.
Well, and another thing I don't doubt for a second, just for the simple fact that every time you hear a story about that guy, it's, you know, Nathan Fillion's just a dude.
Yeah.
You know, he loves what he does. He's into a lot of the geek stuff too, and he's just out there having fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can totally believe you would have just...
So, that's like the second or third time I've seen that guy at Comic-Con, just randomly, you know? Because the one year I walked by the Marvel booth, and he was in the Marvel booth, and I was like, ah, there's a Fillion. So, that's kind of neat. But this was the closest I've ever been to.
I bet
he
gets that a lot, too.
Yeah.
Hey, Fillion.
This was kind of neat, but I wish it would have turned out a little bit better. I got invited to a breakfast with the Impractical Jokers.
Really?
Yes. So I got really excited about this, and Christina got really excited about it because it's a show that we both love.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys have ever seen or watched that show at all. But
hilarious.
Catch it. I don't even remember what channel it's on.
True TV is the name of the channel. It's one of those like hidden camera prank shows, but it's like
it's
respectful, and it's fun because they're like a group of friends who basically challenge each other to do these silly pranks.
Exactly.
So it's more them kind of getting each other than it is like them being like mean to other people.
Yeah,
it's
almost like, and I hate to make this comparison because it's not this at all, but I always think of it as like that style of humor of like the Borat and stuff, which I'm not a fan of at all.
Yeah.
But they're making themselves look stupid, not the people who are in the joke.
Yeah.
You know, and so it works so much better than the other way around because, like I said, it's just more respectful that way. You know?
Yeah.
And these guys are hilarious, the stuff they make each other do. It's very funny.
So we were really excited because I was kind of thinking, like I went ahead, like, I got the invite, and I was like, I don't know why.
How does that come about?
I don't know. I think that's one of those things I lucked into because I'm on the press list for San Diego Comic-Con, and they probably send that out to members of the press and see who wants to accept it. And I didn't even know exactly what it was going to entail because the invite wasn't clear. It was just like, you're invited to the champagne breakfast with the Impractical Jokers. Because they had like a little location set up in downtown San Diego called the Museum of Impractical History, which was just this little building with like fun, fake paintings and everything of them and stuff. It was really neat.
Oh, neat.
So I RSVP'd, and when I RSVP'd, I asked, I was like, can you explain like what will get to do there? Like, what is this going to be about? And they just kind of wrote back this one line, and they're like, oh, great, we got you down on the list. You'll get to, you know, hang out with the Jokers. They'll be there. And that's all they told me. But I was like, okay, well, I'm still going to go because that sounds awesome, and maybe I can get, like, a picture with them or something and talk to them a little bit. So we went there, and Christine was really excited. And it ended up kind of being a bit of a letdown because it was this – it's a really, really tiny little place, and it was just crammed full as possibly – full as you can get it full of people who are all apparently invited to this thing. So you couldn't even like really walk or move around in this place. It wasn't like you were sitting down and eating breakfast. They were like serving like champagne and like they had like little like hors d'oeuvres you could pick up and eat.
Like finger foods or whatever.
Yeah. And so like they were filming with them. So they were filming something. I think they were preparing for their new season launch. So they had cameras around and they were kind of stopping people and asking them things. But it was cool because we were in the same room as them. Like I could see them and they were up there talking, but they were filming.
Yeah.
So it was kind of more like you were standing around watching them film something. And it got to the point where we stood there so long and I was just like, I don't really know where this is going or what's going to happen here. So we ended up just leaving.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to actually meet them
or
anything. So it was a bit of a bummer, but it was neat. Like they were there. I was like, I'm watching them. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know,
and cool that you got the invite and everything like that.
Yeah. It was kind of neat. So that's some of the neat things that happen sometimes.
Well, and you wonder too, well, first of all, I mean, you always think with something like that, you wonder if they're actually like, you know, you walk into it wondering if they are just filming something for an episode.
Yeah.
Or who knows what, which may have very well been what they were doing. And sometimes that stuff, you get busy and kind of pulls you to the side.
Right.
Or it's also very possible, like you said, they might've just sent out blast invites to a bunch of press thinking, okay, if we send out, you know, 100, then maybe 30 or 40 will show up, and then we'll be able to, you know,
and
talk and whatever. And then maybe, you know, all 100 plus some extras showed up or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's possible they didn't even know
that's true.
What was
going to
happen
when
they sent it out, too. So they might have just gotten backed up. Who knows?
Who knows? It was kind of neat, though. At least I got to go there and see him and everything. And
but if any of them are listening, we love what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big fan of that show. It's a really fun show. All right, so I'll go ahead and run down some of the fun things that I saw there real quick. I don't know how much you paid attention to any of the toy stuff that was going on there. Mm-hmm. But I'll go ahead and throw this out there first, since I'm such a big fan. It was a pretty good year for Masters of the Universe good. At San Diego Comic-Con. They had a ridiculous amount of exclusives there this year for Masters of the Universe. It wasn't just Mattel. Because all of a sudden, Mattel has started licensing out Masters of the Universe for other companies to start doing stuff with, which is something they have never done before. They've always held this really tight grip on Masters because it's their brand, and they've never let anybody else do anything with it.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, they're throwing it out there everywhere now, which I can only assume that means that they're trying to get as much brand recognition as possible because they're hoping for this movie.
Yeah.
So Sideshow Collectibles is doing statues, and they had statues on display. And they're one of three companies that are doing He-Man statues. There's a Pop Culture Shock is doing statues, and a company called Tweeterhead is doing busts. So there are three different statue companies doing Masters of the Universe
That's
stuff.
Crazy.
Right? But the big thing was this smaller company called Super 7, who you might remember me talking about. They did those alien reaction figures,
yep.
which is where they brought to life the old Kenner alien figures that never happened.
Yep.
Right. So that company got the Masters of the Universe license, and they produced their own versions of what Masters of the Universe figures might have looked like if they were made in the Kenner style, like Star Wars figures
neat.
Back in 1980, and before they got to the form that they went with. So they released this prototype set. They put in a fake prototype box and everything and made basically a 3¾-inch Star Wars style He-Man, Skeletor, Merman, and Beastman.
Oh, cool.
And that was their exclusive. They're amazing.
Awesome.
They're so cool.
That is really
cool. I just thought it was such a fun, quirky idea. But the other thing that's neat, and I don't remember if I showed these to you, but I think I might have actually, and I definitely got to show you the toys. They not only got the license to Masters of the Universe, but they also got the license to Muscle, the old Muscle Men. So they merged them together for a line called Motussle, which is Masters of the Universe Muscle Men.
Yeah.
And that was one of their exclusives at the show, too.
Yeah.
And they're incredible.
Bananas.
They're insane.
You showed me a little bit.
So, like, that was really fun. And they had this little pop-up shot, because they have a shop in downtown San Diego, which is one of their regular stores, but they overhauled it for San Diego into Skeletor's Lair.
Oh, cool.
So it was a Skeletor-themed shop, and that's where they sold their exclusives, and it was just really, really neat to see something like that for Masters of the Universe being represented at Comic-Con. You had to go to the Mattel booth or their booth and get a Skeletoken, which was a token with Skeletor, like a coin with Skeletor's face on it. And that's how you got admitted to Skeletor's Lair in downtown San Diego. It was kind of neat.
Very cool.
Very busy. Took a long time to get into that shop, but it was neat.
Yep.
It was neat. But as far as Mattel goes, they did announce several new action figures for the line. One of the things I'm excited about is they're doing a line of Filmation versions. So what that means is for the first time ever, they're making action figures based on the old cartoon series that look exactly like the old cartoon series.
Neat.
So they're like, they look...
Not just like the old figures?
Right. Like they don't look like the old figures. They look like animated versions of He-Man. And they're doing like He-Man, Skeletor, Beastman, Teela. Well, Teela comes with a Point Dread. Evil Lynn. I don't know. There's a bunch of them. They look awesome.
I'm trying to picture that.
I'll have to show you pictures.
Because
they look great. And the big reveal is that they're doing Snake Mountain, which is ridiculous. they've already released this giant Castle Grayskull playset, which I've showed you. Snake Mountain is twice the size of it.
Really?
I don't know where I'm going to put the thing when it comes out. Now, they've said that it's going to have to shrink down a little bit because that's just the prototype, and it's just unrealistically big right now. It really, like, I don't know what anybody would do with it.
Yeah.
But it looks incredible. I mean, just the fact that they're investing in large playsets still is a good sign. And
absolutely.
It's amazing. It was a good surprise.
Yeah. They don't do stuff like that if it's not making them money.
Yeah, so. Exactly. It's good. Do you remember the old Snake Mountain playset? How it had the little microphone voice changer thing in it? Do you remember that?
I do.
You picked it up. It's just like kind of an echo effect.
Yeah.
So get this. The feature that they're planning to put in the new Snake Mountain, instead of doing that again, they're adding Bluetooth speakers to it, and they're creating an app that has a microphone effect that's gonna look like the app will look like the little microphone from that.
Awesome.
And it'll connect to your phone. But the fun thing about that is your Bluetooth will be able to connect to anything else that's Bluetooth, so you can just have music blasting out of your Snake Mountain playset, which is just crazy.
Awesome.
So man, just it was really cool. It was really exciting. It's some really fun reveals.
Now that do they still have the little the glove thing?
Well, the glove thing was for the Fright Zone. If you remember that, the puppet. You're talking about the puppet? That was with the Fright Zone, not Snake Mountain.
Oh, that wasn't Snake Mountain?
No.
That didn't have anything? Oh, that was
the Fright Zone. That was
right,
the Horde.
That's right. That was the Horde thing.
Yep.
What else did Snake Mountain do anything else other than
Snake Mountain had like, it had the little snake on top that twisted, and like there was a trap door that would fall down to the inside. There was like a net that would catch him. That was really all there was going on with that old playset, though. It was really hollowed out.
I got it mixed up in my head.
Yeah. But it's cool.
Sorry, everybody. Sorry.
It's okay. It's okay.
I had them both.
You did.
So,
you also had Eternia as a kid. I never had Eternia as a kid, so that's cool. Mattel's big reveal, though, which was a super surprise to everybody, is that they just acquired the Thundercats license.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are now releasing a line of Thundercats action figures done in the exact same scale and style as the Masters of the Universe figures. So now you'll have Lion-O and the Thundercats, and you'll be able to put them right on the shelf with He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, and they'll fit together. They're all being sculpted by the Four Horsemen. They look incredible.
Awesome.
It's so neat.
Yeah,
I mean,
that
just
is cool.
That's
that
fantastic.
That is cool news.
Yeah, that was the best. So good stuff from Mattel all around, I would say. Wasn't a big showing for Ninja Turtles. They had a panel, but most of the stuff they talked about in the panel was the same stuff we saw back at Toy Fair. So there's not a lot to report from that. Other than the fact that they did finally say that they're going to make a human Karai figure. I think we've talked about that before. Everybody wants the human version of Karai as an action figure, and they made Serpent Karai, and people were like, why would you do this?
Yeah.
We want Karai. They got hammered hard at the panel. Like, people were, like, in the Q&A section, people were just like, just make her! Like, they were getting hammered hard. It was funny. But they were like, all right. They finally were like, she's slated for a 2016 release. So we're a little ways away from her still, but she's coming, at least. We know she's coming.
That's honestly, that's not that many waves away.
It really isn't, if you think about it. So, but a lot of cool stuff. Was there anything that you saw specifically that stood out?
No, I just kind of want to, like, general question-wise, I mean, we kind of know how your format goes and all the work you kind of have to do to put into it, but when you do stuff like, you can't just stand in line for Hall H and do stuff like that.
No.
But with, like, the exclusives and stuff, like, how much time do you have to devote just waiting to get some of the toys and some of the, you know, if you can't set an appointment with some of these places?
Yeah.
Like,
so, well, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I don't really wait for exclusives anymore.
Okay.
I've gotten to the point that I just can't because my days are solidly booked with appointments. Now, I have gotten to a point where, luckily enough, most of the companies send me the exclusives now. So the things that at least I want to focus on, I can usually get from most of these toy companies. And I know a lot of you are going, oh, well, lucky you. You just get things sent to you. But let's not forget how much work I have to actually do with that. They don't just send it to me so I can open it and play with it. Like, I got to actually do videos.
You
got to
get the videos up. You got to get them up ahead of time.
I got to get them up ahead of time.
And you've been working with these companies for a decade.
Yeah.
So.
So there was a few things that I was able to pick up from the show. Like, I was able to get a couple of the Hasbro stuff and a few of the Hasbro exclusives, and I was able to get the Funko stuff. But again, I got lucky because I had appointments with these companies, and that kind of does allow me to get the things that I need sometimes, but they're also allowing me to do it because they know that I'm going to do something with this stuff. I'm not just taking it home and putting it on my shelf.
Now, but even outside of just the exclusives and stuff, and I kind of threw that out there, but I was, what I'm really referring to is just like waiting in general.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of these booths you do have your times and your set appointments with, but some of the stuff out there you just kind of have to go and see.
Yeah.
So the stuff that you just, you know, like, all right, I really want a shot of this and I don't know anybody over there, like, just general waiting overall, how much do you think you have to do stuff like that?
Oh, man, it's, you know, it's, I tried to give myself chunks of time where I can do that. And one of the other things that happens, too, is I do schedule all these appointments, but things are so crazy there that these appointments get rescheduled a lot.
Yeah.
So there was one day where I had two appointments back-to-back that both got moved. They were like, can you come back, like, tomorrow sometime? So then I got to figure out how to make that work.
Yeah.
But then I end up with a little bit of extra time where I'm not doing that. So that's usually when I try to make my way over to the booths where I don't have a contact yet or just know I need to get some extra footage.
And get some of the browsing and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I try to see things so I know to do that. But preview night is usually my best night for that. I don't schedule any appointments for preview night. And most of them don't want me to anyway because they're all very busy, so setting things up that night. Because preview night, if you don't know, that's Wednesday night. They open for like 3 hours in the evening, and the only people they let in that night are the people who were able to buy the full 4-day passes. They also get preview night, and then the professionals and the press. That's it. So that's the only way you get in preview night.
Which
so
is still probably a ton
it's
of
still
people.
Crowded, but it's not as crowded as like Saturday at the show.
Yeah.
So that's when, since I don't have any appointments, I spend those 3 hours usually getting the lay of the land, trying to see where as many things are as possible. I see if there's anything I can film right away. Like, Mattel already had a couple Masters of the Universe figures in their cases that night that were brand new reveals. So I got footage of them real quick while I was there because I was like, this is new.
And they
I've
don't
never
put restrictions
before.
On anything like
nope.
that? If you can come in, you can film stuff?
The only every now and then you'll be at a place where they'll have something in the booth that's like no filming or photographs. But usually, like, if they've got stuff like that, they don't even bother putting it out on the floor because there's no way to stop everybody there that's there from taking pictures.
If you can see it, somebody's going to get a picture of it.
Yeah, exactly. So, I just do my best to try to squeeze all that stuff in. And it's rough because I try to take time to eat lunch, but I skip lunch most of the time during this show. Like, I eat breakfast and I eat dinner, and I don't have time to eat lunch because all day long I'm just running around filming. It's crazy.
Now, you know, forgive me because, as we've discussed, I don't really know the lay of the land. And you talk about how it really expands beyond just the convention. It's sort of a citywide thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you even talked about, you know, that the store shop that did it up like Snake Mountain. And it sounded like the Impractical Jokers thing was kind of offsite.
It was downtown also,
So, like, as far as travel goes, how is it? Because I would think just normally going from point A to point B in San Diego, I just have that big city mentality where it's probably rough.
Uh-huh.
To get there on a normal Tuesday, I would think it would take some time. So if you're at this jam-packed convention, your schedule's so full, how do you go about navigating the stuff where you have to leave the convention, go out into the city, and come back? And how much time does that eat up?
It eats up a bit, and it's not too bad because it's neat because the convention center sits right there next to this area that's called the Gas Lamp. The Gas Lamp is what they basically call their downtown area. So when you come out of the convention center, this whole area in front of it is downtown San Diego. And that's where everything pretty much is in there. And the streets are laid out pretty much in a grid pattern. And it's pretty easy to find out, like, it's letters and numbers. So it's pretty easy to figure out where things are, you know, on, you know, certain areas. They're on C and whatever.
So you can walk to most stuff.
You can walk to everything. I walk to everything, pretty much. Nothing is too far away that you would really have to drive. They do have, like, trolleys if you want to hop on the trolley. But I walk everywhere. Google Maps on my phone helps. I just set it to walk, and I follow it to where I need to go. Most of my appointments where I had to go off-site, luckily, were usually first thing in the morning. So what I usually did is I left the hotel and would go. Like, there was a Hasbro breakfast I attended. There was the Impractical Jokers thing. I would do that first thing in the morning. And then from there, after I was done with that, I would truck over to the convention center and pretty much stay there the rest of the day until it was time to leave to go do other things. Now, like, Skeletor's Lair I went to in the evening. So, like, I did everything I could during the day at the show, and then I walked over to where Skeletor's Lair was and did that. So you definitely have to set aside some time for travel and kind of get that all sorted out. Google Maps helps a ton. That's like where I use so that I don't get lost going, where is everything? I just follow that.
And again, I kind of had the impression that you would be like maybe driving around places and stuff, and that's why it seems so mind-boggling. But if it's all in that little area,
you can walk everywhere. It's a lot of walking, but you can walk everywhere. Yeah. So, I mean, there's...
And the whole convention's a lot of walking, because even when you're there, you're still walking around everywhere. Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, as far as, you know, when you got to skip lunch because you're too busy, so you get your breakfast, you get your dinner, and I know you've mentioned, you know, like, events that happen, like, after the show and, you know, parties you'll get invited to, stuff like that. Like, are there times, because I know when you do this stuff, you go and film, and you edit, and you film, and you edit, and you schedule, and you call people. It is nonstop.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll keep hammering that until I feel like people have gotten it, which I don't think it'll be ever. But it is nonstop. But is there that moment at least every day? Like, do you at least allow yourself just a dinner to just sit down and stop thinking
about stuff?
Or when you go to those parties, do you feel like that's still kind of working? Or is that kind of just your relaxed time?
Yeah, you know, the parties, they're actually pretty relaxed. The only thing, like that DC Collectibles thing, is a work kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the evening parties that I went to the He-Man.org party, which was at Skeletor's Lair, which was pretty cool.
Oh, cool.
That was a total just kind of hang out leisurely night, and that was nice. You just get to hang out and talk to people and have some drinks and just hang out. But we did always make sure we sit down for dinner every night. Okay. We usually would meet up with like a group, and we would try a different restaurant that was there in San Diego, because that's always fun to do. I like trying all the different places they have to eat out there. So we definitely sit down for dinner every night, and breakfast was mostly like grabbing Dunkin' on the way out, because we had a Dunkin' Donuts in our hotel. So like we just grab Dunkin' Donuts and head out for the day.
America runs on Dunkin'.
America does. I definitely run on Dunkin' when I'm at Comic-Con.
Well, that's cool. That's good. That's important, because it's not going to. If year after year, if that's all you got to do, then it's not going to be fun for you forever, you know?
Yeah.
So it's cool that you get to just stop and pull yourself away from the videos and just enjoy it. So
That's the other thing. I always got to battle with the terrible hotel Wi-Fi. I mean, trying to upload videos.
Well, because I guess everybody and their mother is on the network.
Yeah, I would assume that's
got to
be why.
Yeah.
Videos take forever.
I don't really know how a lot of that stuff works. If you get your own like mobile hotspot type thing,
a lot of guys do that cover the shows. I don't know how that would work for uploading videos, because I know that's way more intense than like posting pictures or posting a story.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe it's something to look into. It's more money that I don't really want to spend for something.
No,
probably,
but it depends on what kind of return you're getting off.
Exactly.
Just
like
random thoughts we
have
in the middle of the show.
Yep. Business meeting. Here we go. Business expenses.
All right. Final question.
All right.
About the actual experience.
Yep.
What's Hall H like?
Oh, I've never been. I couldn't tell you.
I knew the answer to that before.
I think it's big. I've seen it on TV. I've never been in it.
That is always still the funniest thing. I mean, I've kind of gotten over that now, but those first few years you started going, that was always, because I would forget every year. So I'd be like, cool, what'd you see out there? Oh, nothing. Oh, okay, you have questions for me now.
I saw a bunch of toys. That's all I really got to see.
All right.
All right, well we could talk about a lot of things that
happened. Yeah, I was
going
to say,
but
that's a good segue to start talking about Hall H. And some of the news that came out of that. Is that the time to just move into all the comic movies and trailers and everything that got released?
Let's do it.
Well, let's dive right into the big one then.
Let's do it. We have to. Because I know everybody that listens to this show has been waiting for us to talk about this.
Yeah, it's the new Batman versus Superman trailer hit.
Batman versus Superman.
Kudos to the WB. They put it out. They let Hall H see it. And then they pretty much immediately released it online.
Immediately. It was awesome.
Which,
like, that's one of those things, like I just mentioned earlier, that's one of those things I did realize happened, because as soon as I got back to my hotel room, set up my laptop, started transferring footage over, I got online and the entire internet's talking about Batman versus Superman, so I was like, all right, I'll watch this, and I watched the trailer right away.
Well, and I thought it was funny, because one of my friends texted me about it, and it was kind of one of those things where everybody just sort of assumes if it's a comic book movie that hit the internet news, then I already know about it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so the first time I heard about it, somebody just sent me a comment where I don't remember even what he said, but whatever he said, I read it, and I'm like, I'm reading this as if I should have seen a new Superman trailer, and I didn't even know one existed, you know? So then I had to go, but he didn't say, hey, it's out there. He just started talking about it, you know?
Yeah.
So then I had to go look, and I'm like, it's going to be a crappy cam footage or something like that. I barely even want to check, and I went and checked, and it was just everywhere in high quality. You know, so I was like, hey, good move, WB. Now,
they
reversed and did the exact opposite with
the Suicide Squad yeah.
We'll talk about that part in a few minutes. But, the Batman vs. Superman in all its HD glory, and I'll throw it out there.
Go first.
I really like that trailer.
Yes!
I really do.
I also really like that trailer.
I'm not convinced that I'll love the movie, but I really like the trailer, bar none.
All right. I guess we should throw this out there for any new listeners, or especially those of you who might be watching this segment on YouTube.
They get to see our faces now.
I know.
When we talk about these
now
movies.
Now they know. Yeah. Jonathan and I don't exactly have the best track record with the recent DC movies.
Eye to eye.
We're not big fans of Man of Steel, and we've been chastised for it, but we stand by. We just weren't fans.
I will break down that movie scene for scene and tell you exactly
what
I don't like.
We did break down that movie scene for scene. It's like a 3-hour podcast in case in case you care to listen to us talk about it. But we're very much of the mind that if you do like it, that's awesome.
Yeah, cool.
We're totally fine. We're happy that you guys like it. But
there
were
aspects of it we liked.
There were aspects not overall. Of it we liked. Yeah. And we have talked multiple times about how we feel like they could fix the things that happened in that first movie with this movie. Mm-hmm. And I will go ahead and throw out there that I feel like they are definitely headed that direction that we originally... Yeah. I mean, like, we originally said, we hope that there's going to be repercussions for Superman destroying Metropolis. We hope that it's going to turn citizens against them. We hope that Lex Luthor is going to rally people, you know, for that cause. Yeah. Yeah. And then when we found out that Batman was going to be involved, we assumed that, well, that's probably why Batman's mad at Superman. And everything that we're seeing in this trailer is pretty much just, it's doing exactly that.
Because that final scene of Man of Steel was one of our, and not our only complaint by any means, not necessarily even my biggest, but way up there.
Yeah.
You know, just the ridiculous nature of that destruction.
The destruction, yeah.
Yeah, and we said from the get-go, I mean, that's something they can fix going forward if they want. They can make that part of the story.
Yeah.
And they can sort of take that away, and it does look like that's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're kind of working that into now the world, you know, half the world thinks he's this great savior, and he's so powerful, and the other half is just scared.
Yeah, yeah.
And Batman's in the mix there. And I mean, we don't know how Luthor is playing into it. We don't know exactly what Batman's deal is. Even when we watched the trailer, I watched it with my wife. And, you know, I mean, God bless her. Bear in mind, she's not a comic book person.
Yeah.
She'll watch a lot of these movies with me, but she doesn't, like, track this stuff. So even she, as the ultimate layman, was like, you know, why are they making him look like a bad guy? You know, and I'm like, I don't even know which him you're talking about. She's like, Batman, I think, looks like the bad guy. I don't know what's going on in that trailer, you know? So
that's, you know, they really are taking a risk with this movie.
Yeah.
Because the general public is probably going, why are Batman and Superman fighting each other? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, general public doesn't realize...
But that's what that movie needs to be. I mean, if that's
you're
the way
right.
they're going with it,
you're
then that's
right.
what it needs to
they're,
be.
And I think it's good that they're taking this risk with this movie, because I feel like they're definitely handling this the correct way.
Yeah. They're not even calling it Batman and Superman.
It's
Batman
versus
Superman.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot going on in that trailer, I will say that. And it's cool, because it's like almost 4 minutes long.
Yeah.
So they like really released this long, extended look at the movie.
And they've got a shorter version in theaters now, which is practically the exact same trailer, but they cut about a minute out of
which
it.
Which played before Ant-Man. How neat was that?
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
I was
super cool to see it on the big screen.
I thought that was cool. So there's a lot going on, and that is one thing. Like, when that trailer ends, I go, that was all cool. How is all of that going to fit into one movie?
Yeah.
That's my concern with it. Obviously, we've talked about that before, too. As we've learned of all the characters that they're adding into this, because they're trying to set up their DC movie universe basically with this, and they're kind of doing it reverse Marvel. Which the more I think about it, I think they have to do it that way, because I think they can't do this. I don't think they can do the slow build, because I think Marvel's already.
I don't think
they want to.
And I'm sorry to cut you off on your point. I don't disagree fully, but I don't think they have to do anything.
Yeah.
I think if they're telling good stories, if the movies they're making are good, people are going to take it whatever format they give it. Now, bearing in mind, there's nothing wrong with doing it the reverse way.
Yeah.
And it does kind of get them where they want to go faster. But ultimately, the goal has to be, let's make these movies watchable.
Right.
If the movies are watchable, we, the fans, are going to accept them.
That's true. Absolutely.
However they're done.
Absolutely. Yeah, so we see so many things in that trailer. So I'm very curious to see how they're going to make it all work in the context of one movie. I really hope nothing feels too crammed in or anything like that. But I'm already trying to like come up with theories for why some of the things are happening the way they are in this trailer.
Think about all the stuff that's not in that trailer yet.
I know.
Because remember, I mean, we saw Batman, Superman, we saw Luthor, we saw some of the supporting cast return.
Wonder Woman was in that trailer.
And we saw Wonder Woman, but... they've said from the get go, I think Cyborg's supposed to be in here somewhere.
Yep.
Aquaman's supposed to show up in here somewhere.
Yep.
I don't think they've ever said the Flash is going to be in it, but they cast that kid like 6 months or a year ago, so there's not particularly any reason for him not to be in it, so he may show up. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff that they're doing that could, I mean, some of this stuff too could be, I mean, Cyborg could show up in the credits blurb.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Exactly.
So it may not, but at the same time, there may also be 10 other elements that we're not even thinking about because they weren't in the trailer that are still coming into the movie.
Right.
You know, and you're right, like, how do they pack all of that in and still make it make sense and still make us care about what's coming next?
Right. So, when we were really talking about Man of Steel, one of their big criticisms with that was the fact that, like, Superman was supposed to be the first cape. You remember mm-hmm. that? We mm-hmm. talked about that a lot. And that's
because
that's,
they said that a
they
lot.
They presented it that way.
Yeah.
But they've definitely changed that completely because now it looks like the way they're setting up the DC movie universe is that we are being introduced to this universe through Superman, but this universe has definitely already been in motion for a while.
Yeah.
Batman has been Batman. I would assume Wonder Woman's been running around already. And with the quick little bit that we see Wonder Woman in this trailer, I don't know how she ties into this, but I'm almost wondering if this is a scenario where Batman has already met Diana. He knows Diana. Maybe he called Diana for some help to fight Superman.
Possibly.
You know, maybe maybe she's, you know, kind of on his side with the whole, you know, she's supposed to be defending things too, and this Kryptonian shows up and destroys everything. Why wouldn't Wonder Woman want to get involved too, kind of a thing?
Yeah.
So maybe that's the scenario going on there. It's kind of an interesting way to think about that. The fact that the DC universe does exist already in the movies, we're being brought in at the same time Superman's being brought in. So that's kind of a different element.
And that's
to the
definitely
whole thing.
An interesting perspective on it.
Yeah.
You know, and could be really cool. Like I said, it's not what they said they were doing originally.
Right.
But it could be super cool.
Yeah.
If they do it right. No pun intended.
Yeah.
Super cool to see things.
Super cool.
As Superman.
And we'll get into this more too when we get into Suicide Squad, but it definitely does seem like they're also going the route with Superman's appearance kind of being the catalyst for all these other appearances that are starting
Except
to happen.
That confused me too, because they say that specifically in the Suicide Squad trailer, which will kind of hybrid these talks, I guess, a little
bit. Yeah, we
bit,
totally could put these together. Yeah.
They mention, I guess, you know, Superman showing up kind of pulled them all to the light or something like that. I don't remember exactly how they word it, but the idea, and it's right towards the beginning of the trailer, is basically like, One of the army people that's talking to Amanda Waller is like, I hear some of these bad guys have powers. And Amanda Waller's like, yeah, I guess now that Superman's out there, they feel like they can do that stuff. Except, what's weird to me, assuming this is all taking place in similar timelines, like, Superman's only been around for a few months. How in the world did all of these supervillains show up and get captured and thrown into jail for however long, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so I wonder if that movie, if there's a difference in the timelines with them or something like that.
I don't know. Yeah, it's going to be, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's going to work. And I almost wonder how much flashbacky stuff we're going to see, too. Because we definitely see in the Batman vs. Superman trailer, they definitely show us the death of the Waynes.
Yeah.
We see that real quick.
Man, they're wasting Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Like, I love JDM.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he'll be a cool Thomas Wayne, but he's going to be in that movie for, like, 10 seconds.
Maybe, unless they do a lot of flashbacks to, like, his dad.
Well, but DC could have made JDM anybody.
Yeah, that's
true. You know,
true.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan could have been running rampant.
I'm curious to see how much flipping around they do. Like, there might be a lot, like, we know that Bruce witnessed the whole Metropolis fight between Zod and Superman, but then after that whole aspect gets introduced to us, how much of past Batman are we going to see?
Yeah,
to kind of build up his character for us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe we'll see a lot more of that
flashbacky stuff. You know for sure because it was in the trailer.
Yeah, yeah.
They did. To real quick aside, they did a really cool thing that I saw online. I was telling you a little bit about it earlier. Somebody took that scene from the trailer where Bruce Wayne's running at that building and you can see the I-beams shooting out of it, tearing the building apart.
Yeah.
And somebody made a GIF where they cut that together with the scene from Man of Steel where Superman and Zod are in that building shooting I-beams like crazy. And they just cut it back and forth so you see inside the building them blasting it apart.
That's
and then
neat.
It cuts to outside the building, Bruce Wayne watching it get blasted apart. It's really cool.
That's
so, I mean,
neat.
I'm sure you can just Google, I'm sure, and find that pretty easily.
Yeah.
But I'd say it's like 3 seconds long, but it's super cool.
That's neat. That is really, really neat. We see some neat things, though, too. Like, there's definitely that scene where Batman looks at the Robin costume.
Mm-hmm. Which looks like it has a Joker message.
Which has got, like, it says, like, ha ha ha, joke's on you, is, like, yeah. spray painted on the costume. And so, like, there's a lot of assumptions that maybe that's Jason Todd's costume, and Joker killed yeah. Jason Todd yeah. in this universe, just like he did in the Killing Joke mm-hmm. in the books. Mm-hmm.
Which you they're know, making so, an animated Killing Joke, apparently.
Oh, yeah?
Soon, too. Yeah,
oh, that's so. Intense.
Yeah, no kidding. There's one for the kids.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. right? So it's interesting to see some of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And again, I just wonder how this is all going to fit into yeah. this film.
Well, and again, and I can't remember her name off the top of my head. I really should research this stuff before we start running the cameras.
Yeah, I know, right?
They had cast Jenna Malone, I think.
Okay.
I had heard months ago that they had cast her for something in that, and I think the rampant speculation was she might be that girl Robin from The Dark Knight Returns, and I don't think anything like that ever got confirmed, but now she's another one where I was pretty sure she was going to be in it, and now I haven't heard anything about it in a long, long time, so now I'm wondering, like, did that fall through? Did I understand it wrong in the first place? Was it just a rumor that went away, or is that just another thing that's in there and they haven't showed us yet?
Since they're pulling so many elements from The Dark Knight Returns, it would be kind of neat to see the female Robin, though,
it
in
would
this
be
movie,
cool, yeah.
You know?
Too much for this movie, probably.
Yeah, maybe.
You know? And I hate the idea of introducing Batman with a story that you pull mostly from the story that should essentially be the end of Batman.
The last Batman you know? Story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. It doesn't make any sense to me. And I don't mind like starting like halfway through or whatever. And I certainly don't mind the idea of adapting The Dark Knight Returns to the big screen. It just doesn't feel right to do it in this format. You know, it's like, here's this new hero who's also this old hero who's just done.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And especially if they're going to go on and make all these other movies, like, you know. Starting in the middle is one thing. Starting at the very end is
right.
It's bizarre.
Yeah, it is. It is weird. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how they all make yeah. it work. I'm definitely curious. Yeah. And this trailer, helps
yeah,
me a
I'm
lot.
I'm
going to
keep
I
my
really
hopes,
do.
And the trailer did help me yeah. quite a bit.
We should talk about the part of the trailer that you really don't like, though.
Yes,
which
not at
is
all. A far bigger problem
Ma
to
Kent
me.
There.
Yeah,
yeah.
A far bigger problem to me than all the destruction and the other nonsense from Man of Steel was, Jonathan Kent was the worst in that movie. And I love Kevin Costner. It had nothing to do with the performance. The way Jonathan Kent was written and portrayed was, like, they don't get the Kents at all. Like, that's the whole point of the Kents and their relationship they have with Clark, and the reason he becomes the man he becomes as Superman is because he had all these influences. And that Jonathan Kent in Man of Steel just wanted him to hide everything because he was scared the whole time. I'm like, man, that is way backwards. And now, like I said, we saw this trailer and I got super happy because it looked like they were fixing some of the destruction stuff, making it make more sense at least, making there be repercussions, like you said.
Right.
But then they get to that scene with Ma Kent and my heart starts to lift because she's saying all the right things. Because she's saying, you know, be the hero they need you to be, Clark. Be their, you know, everything for them. What, you know, all this stuff. And I'm like, yes, this is a Ma Kent speech. And then right at the very end, she just completely reverses course and ruins the whole thing again. She just stops and goes, or don't be any of that. You don't know anybody, anything. Like, that's not the Kents.
Yeah, why would she
that's
say
not,
that?
Yeah, that's
so
not
weird.
Who formed Superman into who he is.
Yeah.
And that's, it's a small but crucial element to who Clark is and to what makes him Superman. And these movies, like, again, I mean, there's hope. I want to like them. I'm hoping I'll like this one. I'm hoping I can ignore some of that stuff. And I love Zack Snyder, but I don't think he gets this part of it or whoever's making that decision. It doesn't make any sense to me. It's just so anti-Superman.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I know. I definitely feel you on that for sure. And we talked about Jonathan Kent, you know, ad nauseum in our review and how silly we thought all that was, but I don't know. That's definitely the weird part.
Yeah.
I don't know why they're going that route.
Yeah. But there's some really cool looking action.
Really cool. And that scene where Superman rips the top of the Batmobile off and then Batman just stands up and gets like nose to nose with him is like a chill inducing scene. That is incredible.
Yep. I got goosebumps when you just described
it. I watched that trailer like 3 times after it launched because that scene did that to me.
Yeah.
Like every time I saw that scene, I was like, I'm watching this trailer again. You know, like it was cool. So I'm definitely getting more and more excited for it. I'm like you, I'm still cautiously excited just because I really, you know, I was a little let down by Man of Steel. But fingers majorly crossed that they are going to correct their path with this movie because things are looking pretty darn good with this trailer.
Yeah, this one really did it. So
awesome.
Now, we'll segue that into the Suicide Squad trailer.
Let's do it.
Which, this was the one I was probably, I don't know how to word this right. I've been real down on Man of Steel and down on my hopes for Batman versus Superman, and this trailer came out and really has righted that ship, at least somewhat right now. Suicide Squad, I was getting a little bit more excited about because it was mostly characters I didn't know or care about. So I'm like, it's one of those movies where you can just make it cool and it'll be awesome. And then the trailer came out, and I had like the exact opposite reaction from the Batman versus Superman trailer. That kind of downed me from the movie a little bit. I haven't completely written it off by any means, but I am less excited after seeing footage than I was before I saw any footage.
Yeah, I know. Like it didn't do a lot for me either, and I don't really. It's not like a negative thing either. Like I'm not. Like, ugh, that movie looks terrible. Like, it's nothing like that. It's one of those things, like, where I watched that trailer and I was like, oh, I was kind of hoping to be more excited after watching that, and I'm not really.
And it may just be that there wasn't much going on in the trailer.
Yeah, it was very, like, I mean, it's so choppy and hacked together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Quick flash, quick flash, quick flash. That it's almost hard to tell exactly what's going on or what the real story is here. But I mean, it was a teaser.
I guess. Exactly.
It's a teaser trailer,
and none of that footage could even be in the movie.
Exactly.
And nobody would really notice.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
You know, we see some of the stuff, which is funny because some of the stuff that was the leaked footage before we see in this trailer, like Batman riding on top of the car.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Some of the characterizations look kind of neat. Like we've both talked about how Harley looks pretty promising. Like, you know, I'm really hoping, like, I can't wait till we see more of her actual character. Like, I want to see her mannerisms and her characteristics and everything. Like,
because
I really want her to be a cool Harley Quinn
camera. They said there were flashes of cool Harley in that trailer.
Yep.
But like you said, we didn't see anything that could support or deny that either way. We just saw, like, hints of things. So I'm hopeful for that. That was one of the things I liked most about the trailer was her, because though they didn't cement the idea that this is going to be an awesome Harley. They didn't do anything. They gave me the idea that this is going to be cool.
And she was recognizable.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, she looks like, you can tell it's Harley Quinn.
Exactly.
So I was like, okay.
Now,
so
my problems with her are much like the Joker. Why does she need face tattoos?
The tattoos, yeah.
Good gravy. I mean,
that's a total nitpick, but I don't like the designs. And, you know, and it'll be, if the characters fine, I'll get past it and I'll be fine.
Yeah. I'll get into my two legitimate gripes about the trailer, the things that kind of pulled me away from it.
Okay.
One of them, and I'll just hit the big one right away, that Joker, and I've complained about it on this show before. They had that picture came out, and I went, what in the world is that?
Yeah.
That looks stupid. Then they went, well, I mean, that's concept stuff. He doesn't necessarily have all those face tattoos. And then, lo and behold, he's got all those face tattoos.
And the teeth,
and
the grill. I hate that more than the tattoos. Like, why does he need silver teeth?
I'm not sure that I hate it more, but at least as much.
I do. I hate it more.
Yeah, and I tell you, that's one. Like, I saw that picture, and it was kind of the same when the first Heath Ledger picture came out, and I just went, nope.
Oh, yeah, you hated the first Heath Ledger picture.
Now, I will also say this. I still don't like the look of that Joker. I love that Joker.
Yeah.
But I'm still not a huge fan of the way he looked.
And
it worked in that movie, movie he was in, so cool. I'm not saying anything bad about it. But it's not like I went, oh, this looks stupid, and then the movie came out, and I went, no, it looks amazing. Nah, I still don't like the way it looks. But the rest of it worked perfectly. And maybe that'll happen with Leto.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm hoping it does. That'll be cool. But that picture came out, and I went, you know what? I didn't like the first Ledger either, and then I was fine. I'll get over it. No big deal. Now that I've actually seen it in action, I like it less.
You like it less?
Than I did when it was just the still picture.
Yeah. You know?
So it's really, it's pulling me out of the movie.
Does it sound to you like he's kind of doing a Ledger Joker voice with
I think that's another instance of there just wasn't enough sample there.
Yeah.
So I think, yes, that comparison can be drawn, but I don't think I think they know not to go for that.
Yeah.
I hope they know not to go for that.
I'm really curious to see how he looks because in some of the leaked footage we saw, we have seen him wearing, like, the full purple suit with the green gloves and everything. And I bet when he's wearing that getup, I will be way more fine.
Grill?
I don't. The teeth are stupid,
man.
But at least he'll kind of look more like Joker when he's wearing that getup. I don't really like in
It'll
this
help.
Scene. He's like shirtless and he's tatted up and he's got a grill, and I'm just like, what is going on with Joker here?
Yeah.
Like, what?
Nothing about the character of the Joker says tattoos are an option. That guy is not gonna sit still. for the hours upon hours of getting tatted up. Do all that.
Yeah.
But nitpick, whatever.
Yeah, it's just a design nitpick.
The other thing that bugged me about the trailer, and again, I will reserve judgment because you never know with a teaser. But from the second they cast Will Smith as what should be a secondary villain, you know, I went, man, I feel like that's bad news. And lo and behold, what happened in this trailer, and who knows what we'll see, but I really got the feeling that it was like, hey, look at all these terrible bad guys. He said, Will Smith, though.
Yep.
He loves his kids.
Yep.
He wants to save America.
Oh, Deadshot's not a bad guy.
He's not so bad,
yeah,
is he?
Yeah.
And it really makes me afraid, A, it'll stink if they do it just for Deadshot. And I don't, forgive me if I'm wrong about some of this stuff. I don't know a lot about Deadshot. But I don't picture this. The sell of this movie to me is not a group of misunderstood anti-heroes gets out of jail and saves the day.
Right.
These are supposed to be hardened killers.
Yeah.
Criminals. These are bad guys. Not the guys you're supposed to root for. So, if you can make me root for bad guys in this movie, that's a cool concept and I want to see how you do it. But if you're trying to make me root for them by making them misunderstood anti-heroes, yeah, they've done some bad stuff, but maybe they're okay guys. That's not what I want to see out of this. And that's not what
is
supposed to be.
Like,
I
definitely don't. Specifically, I'm a bit of a Harley Quinn fanboy. So, like, my visions on this keep going to, I don't want Harley Quinn to just turn face in this movie and be a hero at the end. Like, I hope that she leaves with the Joker and goes and does bad things. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I want out of her because she is not a good guy.
That's what I want out of all of them. I want them all to be terrible people who are doing something kind of good, but I don't want to see them breaking away from the action to save innocence just because the goodness of their heart tells them to, or any of that stuff. You know, I want to see bad guys.
Also, and my biggest fear was, as soon as they cast Will Smith too, is Will Smith plays Will Smith in movies. Like, that's just who he is now. Like, when Will Smith's in a movie, he's just Will Smith. So I'm just worried that this isn't Deadshot. This is just Will Smith. Yeah.
Well, in
fairness, Suicide Squad with
Will Smith.
Will Smith's
kind of awesome, though.
I know, and I like Will Smith. Yeah. I like Will Smith. I just, I was kind of the same as you. It felt like too big of a name for such a secondary character. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm anxious to see it. Like, I do have, you know, I want it to be awesome.
Yep.
It's weird. This one comes out before Batman versus Superman.
No, it's after.
Right? Oh, it's after?
Yeah, Batman Superman's March.
Oh.
This is like August.
Okay. Yeah. But it does play into the whole shared universe thing.
Yes.
So it's the second movie in their official shared universe movies. So it's going to be interesting.
Yep.
I'm anxious to see it. All right, well, let's go ahead and move into a little bit of the Marvel stuff that was there. There was no actual Marvel Cinematic Universe stuff there, but we did see some of the Fox stuff. Marvel stuff.
Which we can, when we've only seen kind of cam copies of, which I feel bad even watching. I don't condone taking footage that you're not supposed to take.
Yeah.
And releasing it out there.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, did I click on it? Yeah, I did.
Yeah, me
and
too.
I'm sorry. but it was everywhere.
It was.
It was hard to miss.
It was.
You know, and in fairness to me also, everything was being released. The first couple of these I clicked on, I assumed they were official until I saw it and I went, I don't want to see that. I'll go find the right one. And then you do that three or four times and you go, you know what, I'm just going to let it play.
Just going to let it play. We'll just watch it. So Deadpool.
Yeah.
Deadpool, they showed a trailer at Comic-Con, and this is some of the footage that leaked. So there has not been an official release yet for the Deadpool trailer, but there's some really shoddy cam footage of it. But it gives you a good idea of what they're going for with this movie. Holy wow.
Yeah.
Is this going to be
bananas.
Quite the different Marvel movie than we have seen yet? And we knew it was coming. I mean, they pushed for a rated R movie. Mm-hmm. They got their rated R movie. Deadpool is a very different, very quirky character who totally kind of exists on his own. I mean, like, he's in the Marvel Universe, but you don't need this guy tied to anything else because he is so... I mean, he's obviously got ties to Weapon X and Wolverine and all that stuff.
He's an X-Men guy, which is why they have the rights to him.
Right.
But he's not, I mean, he really is his own thing.
He's just his own thing, and anybody who's a fan of the comics knows how silly and quirky they are. I mean, they are basically gory comedy books. I mean, it's filled with cursing and violence. They're so meta. I mean, he talks to the camera. You know, he always talks
to
the reader.
He knows he's in a comic book.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that is the route that they're taking with this film, and it is just straight in your face in this trailer.
Yep.
I mean, it's amazing.
Yep. And I feel like it's almost like the opposite of what you just said. Like you just said about Will Smith. Like Will Smith kind of plays Will Smith in movies.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
I feel like it's sort of the same with Ryan Reynolds, except I almost feel like Ryan Reynolds has been playing Deadpool for a decade.
No joke.
And now he finally gets to play Deadpool in the Deadpool movie.
No more perfect person to be Deadpool than Ryan Reynolds. There just isn't.
Yeah.
And that's why this dude's name has been thrown around for this character for so long.
Yeah.
Like even before, like when he was cast in Wolverine Origins, people went bananas because they were like, yes! And then that movie happened.
Yep.
And everybody went,
that's
no!
A perfect Deadpool. Yeah. And they saw the Deadpool and went, what was that?
Yeah! You took his mouth away.
Yeah.
The one thing that he needed. Yeah. So now we got a true, honest Deadpool, and
they really did. They did.
Yeah.
They showed a close-up of the Merc with a mouth, and he didn't even have a mouth.
I know!
That's a conscious decision that someone made.
Right?
Unbelievable.
What? Oh man, gosh, Wolverine Origins, what a train wreck.
Yeah.
But this looks like they're righting all the wrongs with this movie. I mean, it just looks so
now,
fun.
I am curious as to how, if at all, it will connect with any of the other X-Men's, because if for nothing else, Colossus is in it.
I did not even have any idea.
You didn't know that at all?
I didn't know
that.
Yeah. I don't know how I missed it, but
cast him a long time ago.
He pops up in that trailer, and I was just like, what?
Yeah.
Is that Colossus?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. And I don't know if there's a lot of other crossover, because like I said, there was an army guy talking to him in that trailer, and we didn't know if it was Stryker.
It looked like it might have been Stryker, because that was the whole Weapon X thing.
Exactly.
Like, they did the whole Weapon X thing to him,
But everything's different now, because they did, I mean, he was a Stryker Weapon X guy in X-Men Origins Wolverine, except after Days of Future Past, I'm not sure that X-Men Origins Wolverine exists anymore.
Oh, yeah,
like,
it
doesn't look like it's...
Well,
they could do anything
they
want
with
it.
They did that teaser at the end of... but then it was weird, because... It turned out to be Mystique. But remember, they did that thing at the end of Days of Future Past where Wolverine got completely separated from everybody, and then he got scooped up at the end by those military guys and Stryker, but then Stryker's eyes lit up like he was Mystique.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, Weapon X is still happening. Oh, wait, but that's Mystique. I'm so confused now.
Yeah.
So I didn't really get what they were going for with that, but I'm just going to assume that he still probably got scooped up for the Weapon X program, so it probably still happens. But, yeah, I will be interested to see if this ties to that X-Men continuity or if it is just going to kind of stand on its own.
Yeah.
But it's neat, and it's funny, too, because going back to the whole Marvel thing with the cinematic universe, how they've kind of put this big ban on everything Fantastic Four and X-Men as far as merchandising and
like
stuff goes.
Comic books and stuff.
Comic books and merchandising. Deadpool has remained completely safe from all that.
Really?
The companies have been given the go-ahead to still produce Deadpool stuff.
Oh, neat.
And I think it's because even Marvel knows Deadpool stands on his own.
Yeah.
And he's way popular, and there's no way we're going to take Deadpool away.
Yeah.
You know what
I
mean?
And no reason to.
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah. They don't need Deadpool for the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, I don't know if they look at that movie as a threat or anything.
I don't
think
so.
Which is not a negative against the movie.
No.
It's just, it's a smaller, it's a more fringe.
Yeah.
The R rating thing, it's going to have an effect on the audience and the box office.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, it's not a huge budget movie either. They don't need to make. I mean, everything doesn't need to make $1 billion to make money.
Right.
You know, so there's
the jokes,
hope on that.
The jokes in the trailer were great. There's that one moment where they're putting Wade through the Weapon X program, and he makes that comment about, just make sure my suit's not green or animated, which was awesome. That great Green Lantern jab right
there.
As
I said, I mean, I love Ryan Reynolds, and I think he knows what all that was, too.
Uh-huh.
And I never even... I thought he was a terrible choice for a Hal Jordan.
He's not Hal Jordan.
No.
Yeah.
And once I watched the movie, I went, okay, he was not a good Hal Jordan, but the problems with this movie were not Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
You know, the problems with this movie were this movie.
Yeah.
You know? And he has said this will be the last superhero he ever plays, but... That doesn't mean it'll be the last time he plays Deadpool.
Exactly.
You know?
Like, there could be more.
Yeah.
This movie's going to be crazy. It's going to be interesting to see how it does, because it's an R-rated movie. It's only going to appeal to guys like us.
And they haven't done
an
R-rated
I mean?
Marvel character since 08, I think, was when that last Punisher came
Punisher.
Out.
Punisher.
That Warzone.
Yeah.
Which was bananas, too.
Which was so nuts.
Yeah. You want to talk about an hour and a half of fun I did not think I was going to have.
Yeah, that movie
was
crazy.
Yeah, it was fun. So.
I'm looking forward to Deadpool, though.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be really fun. So another one of those trailers that kind of leaked with some footage was the X-Men Apocalypse trailer. Quick trailer, again, cam footage.
Yeah, and so there's teasery.
Very teasery. There's no real solid trailer for this yet. But, the only thing you really get out of this trailer is kind of an introduction to who Apocalypse is, and he's obviously shown up, and he's going to be causing some problems.
He's
for
really
the
old, he's a big deal, and he's really powerful.
Yep.
And it looks like he's kind of courting Magneto, which only makes sense.
Yeah.
But they do have a scene where he's standing with four mutants, and it's Magneto and Storm, and now I can't even remember the other two.
Psylocke?
Yeah, Psylocke. And it wasn't Angel, I'm pretty positive, because I remember taking note of that. But I remember, like, because the speculation was like, well, I guess those are the horsemen then, and I'm thinking, that's what the look like they would be them, except I don't know that that
Why
makes...
Why would those characters be the horsemen?
Yeah. You know, I don't picture Magneto as a horseman of the apocalypse. But who knows how many iterations that'll go through. Because if Angel's in the movie, I assume he'll get sucked into that somehow.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's a line in the trailer that I think Xavier says, where he mentions that Apocalypse can control them all.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's going to play into why people are serving him or not. You know what I mean? Because you start wondering why people like Storm are hanging out with him.
Mohawk
and stuff
Storm.
Like that. Mohawk Storm. Yeah. By the way, because they also released some official images in one of those magazines just this last week. So we got some official looks at a lot of these characters. And this movie does take place in the
80s.
Yep. The costuming for most of the X-Men is just phenomenal.
Looks like superhero
like
costumes.
The best stuff we have ever seen in an X-Men movie. We've got straight up 80s Mohawk Storm.
Yep.
Just like she looked in the comics.
Yep. All of those weird tight leather stuff we got in the early aughts when they told us that superhero costumes just didn't work in real movies and so they couldn't do them. Now they've seen all of the movies that it's worked in.
Yep, exactly.
and they're going, let's give it a try.
Psylocke looks exactly like
Psylocke.
It's amazing. Yeah.
She looks
incredible.
Awesome.
Jubilee, she's wearing the yellow coat. Yep. She's got the big earrings. I mean, how cool is that?
Yep. Looks great.
It's so neat seeing these characters. So I guess the only one that's getting really nitpicked is Apocalypse himself. And I'm going to go ahead and throw out there that I don't hate his design. It's totally a movie-ified Apocalypse, right? They movie-ified him. They could have made him look way cooler. And a lot of people are kind of thrown out there, why didn't they do the same thing with Apocalypse that they did with Thanos? Like, they could have totally done a CG, like half actor, half CG effect and made him look more like Apocalypse. Yeah. But instead they went the makeup route and he doesn't really look like Apocalypse. I mean, he does, but doesn't, you know, like it's a weird mix between the two. And it's funny seeing him standing alongside.
He's something of a shapeshifter, isn't he?
You know, I don't know. I think so.
Yeah.
Of some sort.
So I wonder, too, but if that's the only way. Because remember, we've seen him in, like, two scenes.
Like, everybody was kind of wanting the square jaw and the big kind of jagged mouth that he's known for. You know what I mean? And, like, that's not what we got with him. But it's cracking me up because this is one of the places where the internet does funny things that makes me laugh. The day that picture came out, suddenly Ivan Ooze was trending on social media because everybody's talking about he looks like Ivan Ooze from the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie. And there's just all these hilarious images with him standing with like Lord Zedd and Rita Repulsa. Yep. And it was cracking me up.
Well, let me tell you my story on that, because I didn't catch all of those memes until you told me about them, which was like later that day, but whatever. Yeah. I was never a big Power Rangers guy. So I saw Power Rangers, and I had seen Ivan Ooze before, but I wouldn't have been able to pick him out of a police lineup
before
that day. So, and I think I remember even telling you later that day, I was like, you know, the funny thing is, like, looking at him, like, sometimes I just looked at him, I'm like, you know, not it doesn't look like Apocalypse, like, talking about, like, a design flaw, but just looking at it, I'd look at some of those pictures and go, just something looks wrong. It doesn't look right. Because a couple of those pictures I was looking at were the memes. They were Ivan Ooze standing there, and I didn't even know.
that's amazing. Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah, because I went back and relooked at it later. I'm like, and I'm an idiot.
I wonder if, like, I just want to know what, like, Singer or Fox was doing that day. Like, they probably had no idea that was going to happen, and now they're just going, great, great, good. Yeah. Now he's Ivan Ooze, you know? Like, oh, man.
No one in the art department, no one watched the Power Rangers. That's what you're telling me?
Or somebody did, and it was done on purpose.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to sneak this in. Nobody's going to know. Oh, man.
Or they were watching it late one night and passed out asleep and then woke up the next day with a great concept idea.
Great idea for a costume. Oh, man. So the leaked footage doesn't give us a whole lot of insight into what's going on. It's a teaser.
Which is why it's leaked footage, too. They wanted something to kind of rile the crowd up, but they didn't really have anything to show. And Deadpool has said that. They said that a couple of times. They're like, I think Ryan Reynolds even tweeted like that weekend, like, this actual trailer is coming within a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
We really haven't finished the effects stuff, so we didn't want to show mass quantities of people who can pause and rewind and pull stills, a bunch of unfinished stuff. We had some stuff for the whole crowd.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, perfect sense, exactly. Yeah, and again, I feel kind of bad that I watched it. I usually try not to do that stuff, but it happened. I'll repent, and everything will be okay.
Well, I am looking forward to X-Men Apocalypse because I really enjoyed Days of Future Past and I liked First Class a lot.
Exactly.
And this is
Singer
kind of,
hasn't made a bad X-Men
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, so. Well, yeah, I like Singer's X-Men movies. Yep. So, and we've talked about this before too. They stand on their own. Yeah. They don't need to be with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you know what I mean?
He's also never made a bad Superman movie. Just throwing it out there.
Oh, yeah.
Just throwing it out there.
You love that Superman movie. Superman Returns.
Yep. All right, we got one more trailer to
talk
about.
One more trailer. Yeah, this is one that you were really excited about, and I just watched it for the first time today.
Yeah.
The new TV series, Ash versus the Evil Dead.
Yep. Coming on Starz October 31st.
Wow.
Halloween.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think it's about 10 episodes, I want to say. It's not like a huge, like, long series. Now, as far as whether or not it's ongoing, I assume that that all depends on, you know, I bet they'll do more if this one's successful, and I hope it is. And we don't have to spend a lot of time on the show talking about it because I have no idea how big of a Evil Dead fan base we have out there. It's such a sort of fringe cult type thing. But that's sort of where we, you know, where our bread and butter is anyway. But man, if you're an Evil Dead fan, or if you even mildly just remember those movies that much, go online and look at that and tell me that trailer is not the most perfect thing on the internet.
It just looks like incredible fun. I mean, they got Bruce Campbell for this show, and it's just... Yep. It's those movies turned into a TV series, which is crazy.
Yep. And if you sat back and just went, you know what I would really like? You remember those Evil Dead movies? I would just like some more of that. This is exactly what you were envisioning.
Hey, I gotta throw this out there. Do you remember when we went and we watched that premiere of one of his movies, in Decatur?
They still call me Bruce or something like that?
Call me Bruce or something like that. My name is Bruce.
My name is Bruce. My name is Bruce.
It was an awesome movie.
They Call Me Bruce is an old kung fu flick from the 80s, which was also awesome as I remember from my childhood, but that's a whole different story.
So he did a Q&A.
My name is Bruce.
He did a Q&A after that, and one of the people asked him about reprising his role as Ash. And I remember his answer being along the lines of... well, I mean, come on, you don't want me to look like Harrison Ford doing Indiana Jones again, right? And like threw that joke out there or whatever. Here he is doing old Ash in a TV series. So I just want to make sure that I threw Bruce Campbell under the bus,
under the bus.
A little bit because he totally said that in a Q&A a couple years
ago.
But I'm happy with it, whatever.
I did not remember that answer. The one answer I remember was somebody asking him which one was his favorite Spider-Man movie. And that was back when there was only 1, 2, and 3, and he was in them all, the Raimi movies, you know? And he thought about it. I mean, he tried to give a thoughtful answer to that. He thought for a good 30 seconds, and finally he just goes, you know what, man? My buddy from high school made those movies. They're not the same to me as they are to you. I don't really know which one's my favorite, you know? But the point I was going to bring up was the Evil Dead remake that they did a couple years ago, which also was awesome. One of the best remakes, I would say. I'd put it up against anything as far as being like true to the core, but still being like different and fresh. Loved that movie. But the post-credit blurb for that movie, or whatever you call it, was just a little silhouette of the Bruce Campbell Ash looking up and going groovy, you know? And I never thought to take that as, oh, they're going to work Ash into this style of movie. Now, I did hope, and I still hope, that they do another of those Evil Deads.
Yeah.
I would love to see a continuation of that. But it's one of those characters that, man, that rumor and that hope from the fan base has been around since, I think, 93 is when Army of Darkness came out.
Yeah.
It has never died, and it's finally here. It is such a great, great time to be a geek.
It really is. Yeah. It really is.
We can do anything.
Anything, right?
Anything.
We can have it. We get everything we want now, too. It's amazing.
Oh, so cool.
That's definitely something to look forward to. I think it looks so fun.
Yeah.
So much fun. All right. Before we go ahead and wrap things up today, we actually have a fan question.
Cool.
So I definitely wanted to read that and give an answer. So this question comes from Tacky Badge. Awesome name. I love it.
Cool.
So Tacky Badge, he says, "Hi guys, I would love to hear you discuss the chances of seeing Fantastic Four or X-Men characters in the Marvel Cinematic Universe one day. Do you see a scenario in which a deal could be made with their studio similar to the one which was made with Sony lending Spider-Man for Cap 3? Maybe a huge Secret Wars series of movies once the current slate of Marvel Cinematic Universe films has finished." So what do you think? Fantastic Four and X-Men, do we ever actually see them coming to the MCU?
I have got solid hopes that this Fantastic Four movie that's going to come out, I hope it's worse than it looks.
Worstastic Four.
Yeah,
that's the name.
And I think it looks terrible. And I don't think it looks... we'll get into that some other time. We've talked about it before. We'll talk about it again. I don't want to waste 20 minutes now why I think that looks terrible. But I think the movie looks terrible, and I hope it's even worse than that. And I hope it bombs terribly. And at that point, I hope Fox completely abandons Fantastic Four. And it'll still be like a decade before Marvel gets it back, probably.
Yes, yes.
But I am fully convinced. I like a lot of Fox's X-Men movies. I'm real excited about this Deadpool. I am beyond convinced that they have no idea what to do with the Fantastic Four, and I wish they would stop trying.
Yes.
And I actually am a supporter of the original movies they did. They weren't perfect by any means, but I don't think they're nearly as bad as people make them out to be either.
I agree with that.
I think at least at the core they were going in the right direction. But this new thing that they're trying, where they're just trying to make it another X-Men or another Batman or whatever, it's not what I want to see out of the Fantastic Four ever.
No,
you know? Fantastic Four joining the MCU, I think, is a legitimate possibility, because if Fox keeps getting curb stomped on these movies, you know, then they're going to eventually just stop trying. But it's going to be so far in the future, I don't even know what the landscapes are going to look like.
Exactly, yeah.
As far as the X-Men, in a perfect world, and I just got finished saying we can have whatever we want now, and that's the great thing about geek culture, and I'll backtrack a little bit on that. It's not impossible. We're seeing it with Spider-Man, so we can see it with anything. I don't have any real hopes of mixing the X-Men in. I think the universes are set up to work on two different...
They are.
...of a spectrum.
I agree with that.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I don't think they would mesh that well. And I think the X-Men universe is so established at Fox because they have had success with it. And more importantly, almost, I would say that they've had failure with it and then come back to success. So I don't know that that's one that they're ever going to really feel like giving up. And personally, I am excited to see how the Sony collaboration works, especially because it involves Spider-Man. And I'm really confident that Marvel will make that work. But I'm also cautious about that, because Sony's done some really good Spider-Man movies. They haven't done one that I've hated. They've done a couple that were kind of bad.
Yeah.
But I even found things to like in those, you know. So I really like a lot of what they did with Spider-Man, but I think Marvel's home, and that's where it's going to do it right. So if they can acknowledge now, okay, we need to let these guys take the reins, and if this works, that's going to be amazing and awesome. I'm really excited about it. But there's that part of the back of my head that goes, somebody somewhere is going to have enough power and be full enough of themselves to think that they can just step in and make it better, and it's going to ruin the whole thing. So I'm kind of scared. So I would not want to even see Fox try any kind of collaboration with Marvel until the Sony thing was a wild runaway success. And to be honest, no matter how much of a success the Sony one is, I kind of don't want to see Fox get into that realm anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, the more you cooks you got in the kitchen, you know, the more people are stepping over everybody's toes. At this point, I am comfortable having an X-Men universe and a Marvel universe, and I don't particularly feel the need to mesh the two. Now, 40 years from now, if they both run their course and they both stop happening and something happens, maybe. But as far as the way the current slate is situated, I'd rather just keep them separated.
I feel exactly the same way with X-Men, because even in the comic book universe and everything, like, even though they are all part of the Marvel universe and there has been plenty of crossover stories, the X-Men and the mutants in general totally fit their own little world. The stories that happen with those characters and everything can all fit in their own space. And especially with everything that's laid out right now in the MCU, with the big buildup to the Infinity Wars and everything, I just don't feel like there's a place to squeeze the mutants in. I feel like they're already so far along that that's just not going to work at this point. So I am totally fine with Fox maintaining their own universe with the X-Men characters. It's doing fine on its own. They don't have to be a part of the MCU. Now, just like you said, if somewhere down the road, after Infinity Wars is up, wrapped up, and they're done, and all that storyline's over, and Marvel gets the rights back, and they decide they want to do their own X-Men movie and start something, yeah, I would love to see it. I think it'd be cool to see Marvel's take on those characters and see what they can do for them. But as of right now, I'm totally fine with them being separate. Fantastic Four, we've talked about this before, too. That's the first family of Marvel.
Yeah.
That is something I would like to see fit with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And not only those characters, but there's so much tied to their universe that Fox is hanging on to with rights that Marvel could be using right now, especially with everything that they're doing. I mean, they already ran into the issue with the first Avengers where they couldn't use the Skrulls.
Yeah.
The Skrulls were supposed to be the Invaders, and they had to use the Kree instead because...
Or the Chitauri
instead, and they're using the Kree now, too. That's involved with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff.
Yeah.
But they can't use the Skrulls because the Skrulls are with the Fantastic Four rights.
Yep.
And, you know, they've run into stuff with, like, Silver Surfer and Galactus and all this other cosmic stuff that has direct ties to Fantastic Four that they could totally be using guys like Silver Surfer with all the cosmic stuff they're doing right now. But because he's with the Fantastic Four rights, they can't.
Mm-hmm.
So if Worst-tastic Four is as worst as we think it's going to be, and Fox decides that they're done with it, then yes, I really hope Marvel can scoop that up and find some way to make that work, I would accept it.
And I really think as much as anybody out there, even Spider-Man, I think Fantastic Four is one of those properties that Marvel gets.
Yeah.
Like, it's their baby, and I think they get it.
Yeah.
And I don't know that Fox is to blame as the sole studio out there that wouldn't get it. I don't know if any other studio would get it, but I think Marvel would get it. So as excited as I am to see Marvel really take Spider-Man, which again is, I think, a property that has been had some justice done to it. You know, I think Sony's done some good stuff with Spider-Man, but it never really felt perfect.
Yeah.
Felt great for a while there, but there was always something sort of, you know, missing. And I think, and we've seen time and time again, you know, Marvel's delivered entertaining Thor movies. Marvel just delivered a really entertaining Ant-Man movie.
An Ant-Man movie,
if Marvel can make me care that much about Ant-Man... When they get Spider-Man, that should be mind-blowing. And I think Fantastic Four is one of those, we will never see the right Fantastic Four movie unless Marvel does get it somehow.
Yeah, I agree.
So
I agree. Well, there we go. Hey, that was a great question, too.
So if you guys really want a good Fantastic Four movie, do not buy a ticket to the new one.
Don't go see Worst
Task. If they make money, they're just going to keep doing that.
I like how we're just rallying against that movie now. It's so funny. But awesome. Well, hey, thank you so much for that question. That was a really good one.
Yeah, very good
one. We'd love to hear from you guys, too. So if any of you other fans out there, any other listeners or viewers want to ask us questions, head on over to Facebook and search for the Geek Easy Podcast. You can just find us at facebook.com/Geek Easy Podcast. And you can post your questions there, and we will do our best to answer them here on the show. Mm-hmm. So topic suggestions, specific questions, anything like that, post them there. And if it's something that we can tackle, we definitely will
on
the show. I think that'd be great. All right, well, I think that is going to wrap up our San Diego Comic-Con coverage episode. So, again, guys, thanks for joining us on the show. If you're watching on YouTube for the first time, thanks. And if you want to listen to the entire show, be sure to head on over to iTunes and subscribe. And if you guys are already subscribing on iTunes, leave us a rating. That would be awesome. Mm-hmm. Write a review for us. That way we can help spread the word on the podcast. If you don't do the stuff, you don't do the iPhones or the iPads or whatever, you can also find us on Stitcher or Podbean, or you can head over to geekeasypodcast.com, which takes you straight to our feed, and it's got all of our podcasts listed right there. So very cool stuff.
Lots of ways to listen.
Lots of ways to listen. All right, guys. So that's going to close us out. So until next time, I am Pixel Dan.
I'm Jonathan Leonard.
Take care, my friends.
The Geek Easy Podcast is a production of PixelDan.com. Musical tracks used in the intro and outro are used with full permission of the respective owners or creators. Intro and outro narrations are provided by me, Brian T. Stevenson. Any animated series discussed are copyright their respective owners. PixelDan.com's The Geek Easy Podcast is provided for entertainment purposes only. The views expressed are those solely of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily represent those of PixelDan.com or any other party. Be sure to join us next time for another installment of the Geek Easy Podcast.